So Emmanuel Olivier is an ethnomusicologist, senior research fellow at the CNRS, Georges Simmel Center, EHSS, and she's a lecturer at the School for Advanced Studies in the Social Sciences in Paris. Her work, based on a deep field surveys in West Africa for the last 20 years, focuses on musical creation in the Global South. Her empirical research is accompanied by an analysis of the conditions of production of scientific discourse, as well as the issues and practices of ethnomusicology. From 2009 to 2012, Emmanuel Olivier directed the INR project, Musical Creation, Circulation and Identity Market in a Global Context, which was called GlobaMuse. And from 2013 and 15, she was a member of the INR project from Disco Morphis to the Digita Morphis, if I say it well. After the effects of the digital turn on the test morphology and the use of music in the everyday life, sorry, that was the project, I can't read today. So in 2013 and 2014, she co-directed the project Contemporary Art and Popular Music, Making of Work and Regime of Authority with Nicolas Donin at IRCAM. And since 2016, she has been a member of the International Research Center Malian Reconfigurations, Cohesions, Territories and Development, based in Bamako. Emmanuel is the author of several books and journal issues, including World Music Tradition Through the Prism of Creation, Arranging the World, Works, Offers and Rights, Musics and Dances in Globalization, and Artistic Creation and Imaginaries of Globalization. Finally, her research has found direct applications in the teaching and direction of postgraduate and PhD students at the EHSS since 2005 and at the University of Letters and Human Sciences of Bamako since 2017.
Thank you, Amandine. So good morning to everybody. I'm really delighted to be with you today at this symposium. And first of all, I would like to congratulate Amandine for bringing together so many different and complementary profiles around the issue of social distinction in the 21st recording studio. I cannot but point out that such encounters occur too seldom. So congratulations, Amandine and Athena, too, because you are co-organizer of this symposium. So as an ethnomusicologist and as the coordinator of the Afrinum project on digital cultures in West Africa, in which Amandine, Adam, James and Ken are participating, and which is closely connected to Amandine's project, I would like to raise a few brief points on the issue of the ethnography of recording studios in Bamako and more generally in West Africa. First of all, allow me to share with you some observations I've made. The ethnography of the studios in Bamako lies within the digital regime, and this question of digital technology is essential to understand what is happening in the studios. At the macro level, Africa was considered a few years back as a marginal market on account of the digital divide. But today, the situation has been upended and Africa is viewed as the new El Dorado of the digital economy. The tech giants, the media, development agencies, digital business companies unanimously praise the stunning success of mobile telephony, social networks, and innovative mobile services. However, this digital age Afro-optimism, to quote American ethnomusicologist Andrew Eisenberg, ignores the significant differences in access between urban and rural areas, the still high price of the internet, but also the agency of individuals and their constraints. The issue of individuals' digital skills and the transfer and transmission of digital knowledge are also little taken into account. Yet, they are critical to understand local uses of digital technology. My second observation is situated at the social science level. A great deal of research has been undertaken over the past 15 years on ICTs as tool for transforming African societies and cultures. But one cannot but notice that studies on music in the digital age remain rare and quite superficial. Africanist ethnomusicology has not properly invested the recording studio as a field of investigation, with the exception of South African ethnomusicologist Louis Manches in South Africa and a few other researchers. It's a field that remains largely to be explored and which requires connecting Africa to the rest of the world in order to identify the technological tools, the production processes which are globalized and those that are specific to a country or even to a sound engineer. It is also necessary to integrate Africa into globalization in order to identify knowledge transfers and their transnational or more localized networks. It is this new field of research that the AfriNum project aims to conduct in Mali, Ivory Coast, Senegal, and Ghana by bringing together an interdisciplinary team of 24 researchers, postgraduate students, and postdocs from France, Canada, and West Africa. My third observation is situated at the field level. Since cheap and mobile digital audio technology has become accessible locally for 10, 15 years now, DAW home studios are flourishing in the cities and sometimes even in the rural areas, and have become the heart of this new music ecosystem. Today, most West African musicians, from the local griot to the rapper, from the cantatrice to the religious praise singers, can immediately set out playing in the multiple home studios at their disposal to compose and record with their arranger, who also act as sound engineer, and that's what we've seen with the different documentary movie made by students here. The audience thus accesses new songs through audio recordings and video clips via social networks, streaming platforms, web, radio, or television channels. And the audience attends live performances as much to see and be seen as to listen to the musicians, who often make use of lip syncing. One can thus observe a reversal of the dialectic between recorded music and live performance. Today, the creation process largely takes place in the field of recorded music, while during social performances, the audience often recognizes the music as it was recorded in the studio. So, a deep and in-depth ethnography of Bamako's recording studio therefore allows us to access the making of music, namely to describe and analyze and the creative process that the studio and digital tools are transforming. It also means to shift the focus to a new figure and a new profession whose name varies from place to place: arranger, sound engineer, producer, or designer. Ethnomusicology has thus begun to take an interest in this new figure, their career path, their acquisition of digital audio knowledge, their work in interaction with musicians during all stages of production, the tools and knowledge they mobilize, which also offer them new creative possibilities. In recording studios, as well as in video clip production or music distribution on local streaming platforms, mainly young people are to be found. The 3G generation, or Generation 21, as they are known locally. Conducting an ethnography of the studios in Bamako also means questioning Mali's youth and the emergence of a new cultural entrepreneurship. There is a twofold challenge: a generational challenge, the younger generation is emancipating itself from the older generation by mastering digital technology. And this is the knowledge power as defined by Michel Foucault. And there is also a professional challenge with the creation of new professions centered on production or on distribution and broadcasting, which are becoming more professional. The third point is that the production of music in the DAO-owned studios is part of a media regime. In the absence of local labels, new singles and albums are immediately broadcast on local streaming platforms and on YouTube. But mobile phone operators are beginning to find a place in this new economy of music by developing their own music content services like ringback tones and streaming, or by creating marketplaces to allow local platforms to deliver music via their mobile payment devices. At the end of the music value chain, there is therefore the question of these international telephone operators becoming cultural operators. And one wonders whether these operators might not exercise a new form of control, which could be described as industry patronage, to quote Doppler and Eisenberg. Finally, an ethnography of recording studios in Bamako or elsewhere has methodological and disciplinary implications. In order to describe precisely what happens in a recording studio, innovative tools are needed that combine computer screen capturing and video recording on conflict studio station, and we've seen this on this morning. In the Afrinium project, we will proceed in the same way in the four countries studied, Mali, Ivory Coast, Senegal, and Ghana, so that a comparative analysis of the musical production may be carried out in order to identify the similarities, but also the national specificities, and to isolate the way of doing specific to a studio. This comparative dimension seems very important to me, to be able to consider digital not only as a globalized technology, but within the dialectic globalized tool versus cultural artifact. Finally, in terms of disciplinary boundaries, understanding musical creation in the recording studio requires the implementation of a new interdisciplinary approach between ethnomusicology and sound engineering research, two disciplines that are not accustomed to collaborating. Some pieces of research already integrate these two disciplines, and of course, I think to Elliot Bates' work in Turkey, but also I think to Paul Green's work in Nepal and to Hans Barnard's work in Latin America. But it's clear that a new field of interdisciplinary research is opening up. What is at stake is to untie established academic nodes in order to open a new field of research that can apprehend work as a point of articulation between musical composition and sound composition. Sound engineering provides tools for analyzing the sound and its technical manipulations. Ethnomusicology makes it possible to put to the test and even recalibrate these globalized tools from the south. The challenge is therefore to revise the scientific practices of these two disciplines by opening them up to each other so as to set up a sustainable conceptual and methodological framework for the study of the creation of digital recorded music. And I have no doubts that this new field of research will give rise to a great deal of work in the year to come. Thank you very much.
So thank you.
Thanks a lot, Emmanuel. And thanks for flying all the way from Paris in the middle of the winter here. So, is there some questions from the audience? Yes.
Two really quick questions. Where does Nigeria fall in this, in terms of... I have two questions. One is, how does Nigeria figure into this project or not, geographically, linguistically, geopolitically? And then my other question is really around, I found it interesting to think about mobile phone companies as being these new kinds of cultural agents. Now, they're so deeply tied into global capital and extractive industries. I'm wondering if that's even a discourse on the ground or in the field of ethnomusicology, where people are thinking about how young people, the 3G generation, participate in the continual extraction of minerals from not just the West Coast, but going all the way down to the Congo and others.
Thank you for these two questions. Actually, we wondered whether we could work on Nigeria or not, and finally we decided not to include Nigeria in such project. Not because it's not interesting, it's fascinating, it's really and actually it's too fascinating, I'd say. Nigeria is a too big country, it's a world itself, I mean. And I think it will be the topic for a second project on Nigeria. Music and also movie industry with Nollywood, because music and movie industry are closely connected. But it's a too big topic for our project. And we found that Ghana was maybe more interesting for us because it's close to Ivory Coast. So that there are really close connection and close circulation between Ghanaian and musicians from Ivory Coast. And we found interesting because on one side it's a Francophone West Africa, and Ghana is Anglophone, so we will be able to compare what's happening in Francophone Africa and some part of Anglophone Africa. But we couldn't extend the project, you know. we need to define the borders of the project, and it's a 4-year project. And we need time to do field work because there are few descriptions and few analyses of recording studio. For example, in Ivory Coast, to my knowledge, there is no research on recording studio. So Amandine and Anne will start working from this year in Ivory Coast. But there is a lot of things to do there, so it will be a next step, and I'm sure that there are also maybe more researchers from Nigeria who start doing research on Nigeria fieldwork. So of course we'll exchange with this colleague, and because Nigeria is a very important place for the music industry. The second question. So we have forgotten the single
mobile phone.
Oh yes,
companies.
Yes. Okay. The question of mobile phone companies is very interesting and very important. I can speak about Mali because I know more the Malian situation, but we will see the situation in the other countries. We will work in Mali. Orange, the French mobile phone company, is the leader of the mobile phone company, is the real cultural operator in Mali. He is the main founder of the Ministry of Culture in Mali. If there is no Orange, there is no Ministry of Culture in Mali. That's simple today. From 10 years ago, let's say. And Orange is also funding the TV show on music, and they are the most popular TV show, like Star...
Star Etoile?
Top Etoile. Top Etoile music show is a very popular music show, and Orange is the main sponsor of Top Etoile music show. Orange is a sponsor for a lot of very popular musician, rap musician, but also mandang musician, from Salif Keita to Milmo and different ones. I forgot the name. Can you add something if you want? You know as well as I the Malian situation. So, and. Orange starts producing Malian music, and that's very interesting. They start producing music, and they also support local streaming platforms, and that's very interesting. So we need to work on such a mobile operator if we want to understand what's happened in the music industry in the Western African music industry. And I think we could do the same in all Africa, because the very big mobile company have a strong power in the whole Africa. I don't know if I have it.